Take your Bibles and look at Genesis chapter 11. Thanks to Jerry and Joe for inviting me up here and allowing me the privilege to be able to be up here and share God's word with you. So I guess I'm supposed to teach some things about marriage. The first key, I think, is a really great key. And that is, it's really cool to apologize a lot. Seriously. I mean, that really helps. I apologize to my wife a lot. One of my favorite apologies is, honey, I'm sorry for all the bad things you've done to me over the years. That really doesn't get me a lot of points. So you might not try that at home, in case you're wondering. I'd like to talk today about building it the right way. Building our lives the right way and building our marriages the right way. My wife and I lived in Florida with the Armstrongs. They lived in Miami, and we lived in Fort Lauderdale many, many years ago. And after Andrew hit, I wanted to go down and see if we could help the believers or do something. I wanted to see what happened. So we went there, and I talked to Joe and talked to some of the believers. And after Hurricane Andrew hit, there were whole neighborhoods. Most of you have been in Florida, and you know it's built in little communities and whatever. And there were communities there that this Hurricane Andrew was a big hurricane. I think it was a Category 5. Some communities were totally wiped out. And there were other communities that stood. And then they began to investigate it further. And some of those communities that were totally wiped out, they were built really bad. And when the hurricane or the storm came and whatever, and it was a horrible thing, they got wiped out. And then there were other ones that were built according to the code or whatever, and they stood. So today I'd like to get into building our lives and building our marriages the right way. Because we don't want to go so much up and down and have so much volatility. We want to be able to stand on God's word. So we're going to look at building our lives the right way. We'll look at how man sometimes does things the wrong way, how God builds things the right way, and what we can do to build our lives and our marriages according as how God builds those things. So let's take a look at Genesis chapter 11, please. Genesis 11. Genesis 11. Genesis chapter 11. Were these people Christian? Just checking. Okay, Genesis 11. And in verse 1 it says, "And the whole earth was of one language and of one speech. And it came to pass, as they journeyed from the east, that they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there. And they said one to another, 'Go to, let us make brick and burn them thoroughly.'" "And they had brick for stone, and slime they had for mortar. And they said, 'Go to, let us build a city and a tower, whose top may reach up into where?'" Man was going to work himself all the way up into heaven. "And let us make us a name, lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth." And this was a time when men weren't really walking. And the word name in the Hebrew is Shem. And it stands, they wanted a name. And the Shem stands for the believer's line. They wanted to build their own believer's line. They wanted to have their own redeemer. It was a rejection of God's provision over time. They wanted to build their way up into heaven, and they wanted to redeem themselves in a way without the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Sometimes man does that, doesn't he? He tries to do it his own way, work his way up to heaven, do all these things, and forget about God's provision. That's sometimes how man goes about it, and that's not building the right way. It's actually building the wrong way. Look at Acts chapter 4, please. Acts 4. Acts chapter 4. And we know that God's provision over time, God's Redeemer, is our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 4. Building it the right way. Our lives and our marriages. Acts chapter 4. And in verse 11. This was pretty early in Christianity, and Peter was confronting these dudes here. And we'll start at verse 8. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, "You rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done by the impotent man, by what means he's made whole, be it known unto you all and to the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ, who you guys what?" Peter had some guts, didn't he? "You crucified him, whom God raised him from the dead. Even by him does this man stand before you whole," the guy, the lame man, right? From Acts 3, verse 11. "This is the stone, this is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, this which has become the head of the corner," the chief cornerstone. Now, there's some builders in here. How many of you guys know a lot about building? Raise your hand. Building. There's some architects, some builders. All right. You know, you've forgotten more about building than I'll ever know. However, here it says that this stone was, let me read it again. "This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner," the chief cornerstone. These guys, Israel, the most important thing to build their life on, whatever, they rejected the Lord Jesus Christ and were doing this building and whatever, not believing God's provision. And for those of you who know a lot about building, a lot more than me, I'm sure when the foundation is messed up, when the thing you built everything on is all crooked and not right, it throws every single thing off. So in looking at what we've done so far, am I accurate, Dean? Just checking. Thank you. Okay. Albert, am I okay? Okay, thank you. All right, now, so just looking at this, in the Old Testament, they rejected God's provision and wanted to do their own way. Here in this situation, the same thing, where the chief cornerstone, the foundation, they rejected and wanted to build this thing in a different way. Look at 1 Peter chapter 2, please. 1 Peter 2. 1 Peter 2. So there seems to be a pattern sometimes that man does things according to how man wants it done. And in doing so, he rejects God's word or God's provision. You know, the same thing happens in marriages, right? We know a lot about marriages, and sometimes we forget about what the scripture says. 1 Peter chapter 2 and in verse 7. 1 Peter 2, 7. It says, "Unto you, therefore, which believe, he's precious, but unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner, a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto they were appointed." Instead of building upon Christ, they stumbled over him. They stumbled at the stumbling stone by a lack of believing. So how not to build seems to throw out God's plan and not to build on the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Look at Matthew chapter 16, please. Matthew 16. Matthew 16. Matthew chapter 16. Matthew 16 and in verse 16. Matthew 16, 16. Here we go. "And Simon Peter said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee, that thou art Peter. Thou art Peter, a little rock, a little stone. Thou art Peter, and upon this rock, pointing to himself, I will build my what? So, Jesus Christ, who obviously knew what he was doing, he built his church upon the rock, Jesus Christ. Now, this is stuff that most of us have heard. Look at Ephesians chapter 2, please. Ephesians 2. Ephesians chapter 2. So, man somehow rejects God's provision, and those people that walk with God accept what God has done, and we see here that Jesus Christ built the church on the rock. In Ephesians chapter 2 and in verse 19, it says, Now therefore you're no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints, and are of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation, of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ being the chief cornerstone. So in building things, you know, what this is built upon is Jesus Christ, the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building, fitly framed together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord. Colossians chapter 2, please. So, man's building projects, he sometimes rejects God's provision, and he does it his own way. Take a look at Christianity today. A lot of Christianity in certain circles is more about the works of man instead of the work of Christ. We have good works, we have soup kitchens, we have a lot of these things, and sometimes the emphasis more is what man has done instead of what God has done in the past through his Son, Jesus Christ. And that's kind of where things are at today in a lot of circles. The works of man are elevated ahead of the work of Christ. In Christian marriages today, maybe outside of Harbor Light Fellowship and a few other places, a lot of Christian marriages have very little to do with Christ, don't they? You get married so that, you know, having sex is legal or whatever it is. And then, but where's the word in these marriages? It's about other things instead of really let's put the word of God on and live according to the scriptures. Colossians chapter 2, please. Colossians 2. Colossians 2 and in verse 6. Colossians 2, verse 6. It says, As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the believing, as you've been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. We're to be rooted and built up in him. Rooted and built up in Christ. Our lives need to be built on Christ and his accomplishments, not on other things. In Colossians chapter 3, please. Colossians 3. Colossians 3. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 16. Colossians 3:16, it says, Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. Let the word that pertains to Christ dwell in us with all wisdom. So that word of God, that word that pertains to Christ, it's to dwell in us with all wisdom. It's to saturate our lives. It's to saturate our marriages and saturate our families. Look at Proverbs chapter 4. So we're to build our lives upon the rock. Jesus Christ built the church upon the rock. We're to build our lives like that. In Proverbs, in the Old Testament, Proverbs 4, let the word that concerns Christ or concerning Christ, it's to dwell in us richly. Proverbs chapter 4 and in verse 23, Proverbs 4:23. It says, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of what?
Life.
Life. So, how do you get the word in our marriages? How do we get the word in my business? How do we get the word in what we do? It's very simple. If we get God's word in our heart, if the word of Christ dwells in us richly, if we saturate our minds with the word, then, and my wife does it and I do it, then that word of God is going to be in my marriage. Because out of it are the issues of life or the decisions of the will. So the more Bible we get in, the more in all this stuff, then it just saturates every aspect of our life, which is good. So here's a couple keys to building our lives and marriages according to the Word. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 3, please. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. First key in building God's word in our lives is to have a long-term plan. For some of you guys that own businesses or work for corporations, you know that corporations have a long-term plan, don't they? Long-term profit maximization. Is that accurate, Kristen? If you make short-term decisions based on short-term profit, then it really doesn't work out so well. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And in verse 10, 1 Corinthians 3, verse 10, it says, Paul is talking here, according to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder. Now, in the Greek, this could be the only Greek word I will say tonight, this word master builder is the Greek word architekton, which is translated into two English words, and those are volleyball player. No. According to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder. He was an architect. I have laid the foundation, and another builds thereon. But let every man take heed how he builds thereupon. For no other foundation can any man lay than that which is laid, which is who? Jesus Christ. That's a great foundation for our life. And if we base our life on that, that will have a major effect on our marriages. Now, if any man build upon this foundation, gold and silver and precious stone, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he's going to receive what?
A reward.
And if any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss. But he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. So, in the future, we're going to be rewarded for the things we do out of love according to the word. So why not walk in love? Why not live love in our lives, live love in our relationships? And those things that we have in our life, then we will be rewarded for in the future. And that helps give us a long-term plan. What's the sense of messing around in this life because we want to live our life and base our decisions on eternal life, not on short-term, you know, chasing feelings and all the other stuff that people do. How about Matthew 7? Another thing that we should do is build according to the code. Some of you builders, the inspector comes around, and he wants to know if you built it according to the code. Let's take a look at this. Matthew chapter 7 and in verse 24. Matthew 7, 24. Says, therefore, whosoever, this is Jesus Christ talking, therefore, whosoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon the house, and it fell not, for it was built upon a rock. And in this situation, what is the rock? Watch this. Therefore, whosoever hears these sayings of mine and does them. If we base our life on words of the Lord Jesus Christ, when the stuff gets tough, then the house stands up. And everyone that hears these sayings of mine and doesn't do them shall be likened unto a foolish man, in contrast to a wise man, which built his house upon the same. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon the house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. Building our life according to the code. What's the sense in cutting corners? And a lot of us here have been in the Word a long time. And a lot of us have built our lives and built our marriages according to the Word. And we have great lives and great marriages. And we can teach other people how to do this. What's the sense in compromising? We have a wonderful thing here, Harbor Light Fellowship. We have wonderful people. We love each other. That's because people have built their lives on God and His Word. And that's super important. Some of you have a handout. Let's look at this handout for a minute. Elke, can I see yours? Okay. Take a look at this handout. I don't know if this handout has anything to do with the Bible. It might, though. Okay, now, what bridge is this? My bridge. Okay, this is the George Washington Bridge. Okay, this is the George Washington Bridge. Now, you know, sometimes when people find a girl that they like or whatever, they're more concerned about the relationship or the feelings, or getting laid, or whatever goes through people's minds. Let's be honest. What does that have to do with the bridge? I want to know myself, actually. Now, so you know what? You get more concerned about the relationship than you do about, am I going to stand in God's Word? So you see here, this is called the suspension bridge. This suspension bridge is held up because this one here and this one here are firm on the solid rock. And because they're firm on the solid rock, then all this kind of stuff is attached to it, and this thing is here, and this thing is solid. It's a solid thing because these two things are in God's Word. That's exactly how it is in a Christian marriage. Number one, what's not, you know, people think the sex is important and sex is nice, but you know, there's more to it than that. It's like in a Christian marriage. Is it just about getting married? Or is there so many things to know and understand that helps this to be strong and helps this to be strong? So when this happens, then man, this thing is super, super solid. We build it on the Word. We build it on the solid rock. Let's take a look at Ephesians, please. So, we see that we're to build our lives on Christ. The Word concerning Christ is to dwell in us richly. You okay, Chrissy? Need some water?
No, I'm good, thanks.
Okay. Needs to be, that's how to build the right way. Men sometimes build things the wrong way, and they build it without Christ. We've traced a lot of things through God's Word here, where it's right on to build our lives on Christ. So let's take a look at Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians 1. You can keep this picture as a souvenir of this teaching.
Okay, I'll have it back then.
Okay. I'll sign it for you for $5. All right. Let me see here. Ephesians chapter 1. So, to build our lives the right way, we're to build it on Christ. It's not anything so not foundational. Right? And if we have God's Word or the Word concerning Christ that's so much a part of our heart, then it just oozes out in every aspect of our life, on the job, how we treat our kids, and how we treat our spouses. And that then influences our marriages. In Ephesians chapter 1, Ephesians was not written to the novice. Ephesians 1:1, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the what?
Faithful
in Christ Jesus. Ephesians was built, the doctrine part of Ephesians was built on Romans. So here you have here, this book was to the faithful in Christ, people who have lived, people who have believed this word of God, faithful in Christ, like what he accomplished, what he did, how he loved, and all these things, it's to the faithful in Christ. And that's important. In Ephesians 1 through 3 is doctrinal. Ephesians 1 through 3 is doctrine. And the doctrine of Ephesians is the mystery. Jesus Christ is the head of the church. Jews and Gentile, one body, and all the things that we've been taught over the years. Ephesians 4 through 6 is practice. How to practice the doctrine. How to practice the mystery. How to do these things to live according to the scripture. The marriage is put in Ephesians 5 as a microcosm of the mystery. It's an example of that mystery. And so let's take a look, and this teaching is about building it the right way. We build our life according to Christ, and how about building our marriages on Christ also? Let's take a look at Ephesians chapter 5. Let's take a look at the context here. Ephesians 5, and in verse 1, Ephesians 5, and in verse 1, it says, "And be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, walk in love, as Christ also loved us, and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor." So in this context of marriage, like we've been taught, here it's talking about Jesus Christ, and we're to walk in love as Christ also hath loved us. He's the standard. And that takes commitment. He loved, he gave, and this is the context where the marriages sit. Again, this teaching is about building our lives the right way, building them on Christ. But if our lives are built on Christ, husband and wife, then that just oozes over into our marriage. So let's take a look here. In the context then of walking in love as Christ loved the church, let's continue. Ephesians 5 And in verse 21, Ephesians 5, 21. Look at this. Ephesians 5, 21. Watch. Submitting yourselves one to another in the respect of God. Now, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. As should be lowercase, as unto the Lord. Once again, we're going to look at here and see how much of these verses refer back to our relationship with Christ in one way or the other. And the more I understand what Jesus Christ has done for me or done for all of us, then I can take that knowledge and then apply it into the marriage. It's written to the faithful in Christ, not just the novice who doesn't understand anything about all these things. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as. Now I want you to look at this. How many times "even as" appears in this context? For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he's the Savior of the body. If we really understand that Jesus Christ is the head of the church, that helps me a whole lot to be a better husband, doesn't it? Because as the head, does he make bad decisions? No. It's easy for people to follow because he's the head and he makes godly decisions. So the more we understand what Christ did and how he loved, then that enables us to live our lives and in our marriages even better. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he's the Savior of the body. The husband does that. He takes care of the wife. He makes good decisions. He's the head. And if I understand what Jesus Christ did, I want to be like him in my marriage. I want to be like him in my marriage. I want to base my life on what he accomplished. Building it the right way, according to God's provision. Verse 24, therefore, as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be unto their own husbands in everything. We learn about following along, following God's word, following Christ. So we can learn about doing that part. Verse 25, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the what? Church. The standard is Christ loved the church. The more I know as a husband of what he loved and how he did it, you know, then I can do the same in my relationship. We're to build our lives on God's provision, on the Lord Jesus Christ, and also our marriages. Look at the standard here. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. He didn't love the church because the church loved him. And he loved the church because he made a commitment and just did it. 26, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. So husbands are to love the wives and they to sanctify it and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. Keep your finger here and let's take a look at John chapter 15 and in verse 3. John 15, 3. This is written to the faithful in Christ, people who know something about these things. A Christian marriage is just not getting married by some minister. It's understanding these things. It's not doing it by the world's way, but it's doing it according to how God set the standard. Here it says in John chapter 15 and in verse 3, now you are clean through the word which I've spoken unto you. A great thing in a marriage is to speak the word one to each other. Let's look back at Ephesians 5. Jesus Christ spoke the word to the believers in the Gospels. Husbands, love your wives, in verse 25, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. One way to clean or to help out is to speak the word. And if both people are really involved with the word, then what's going to come out of our mouth?
The word.
And if we're really not involved with the word that much, what's going to come out of our mouth is, you know, problems or, you know, who won last week at this thing or that. And that will be the, instead of what's really this is about, is the word. That he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. 27. That he might present it to himself, a glorious church, not having spot. That's the purpose of speaking the word. That he might present it to himself, a glorious church, or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. When we speak the word to each other, or the husband speaks the word to the wife, does that put pressure on the wife? No, according to this, she can have not spot or wrinkle. And those words or in the Orientalism meaning, it means it takes, you know, the worry away. So the husband speaks the word. The wife can do it too. And that word takes the burden away. It takes that burden away so the person doesn't have to worry. We help each other. Hebrews 10:24 says, consider one another to provoke unto love and good works. So by living our life according to Christ and then living that way in the marriage, then that helps us to be our best. That takes the pressure off. That cleanses, that takes away the worry and all these things. The husband is to be the head like Christ was the head. The head made great decisions. The head was faithful. All these different things, that's how the husband is supposed to be. And the wife, you know, is what it says here. That he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. Verse 28. Watch this. These three verses we could read together. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. You guys ever think of that? You don't go around punching yourself, do you? That's not a cool thing. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loves his wife loves himself. For no man yet ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes it and cherishes it, even as the Lord or Christ, the church. So, Christ is the head of the church. He's done a good job, right? So that's the comparison here. Christ, and we're his body. The man is the head of the wife, and, you know, that's part of the one flesh relationship. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loves his wife loves himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourishes it and cherishes it, even as the Lord in the text, it's Christ the church. Christ takes care of the church. He does a great job. He doesn't hurt the church. He nourishes it and all that. For we are members of his body, of his flesh. As Christ does this and takes care of us, that husband and wife relationship is supposed to be super sweet. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, this husband and wife being one flesh, and that's really cool. But I speak concerning Christ and what?
Church.
Now the church is made up of who? According to 1 Corinthians 10:32. Italian people and Yankee fans. No. Jews and what? Were Jews and Gentiles very different from each other? Like way culturally different? Possibly language different? Possibly food different? All this kind of thing. They were very different. And yet they were all in one body, and if they were to really walk, then that body would be really tight and loving and all that. And that's all because Jesus Christ, because of his accomplished work, made that mystery available. Here in this situation, the one body in this comparison is the marriage. Sometimes husbands and wives are very different, aren't they? Very different. Yet, because of the accomplished work of Christ, those differences aren't as important because we live the mystery as one. That's the comparison here. Again, because of the work of Christ, then we can understand these things. You know, Jerry, when he was introducing me, mentioned about how we're all different. We are all different. But if you are different, you can bring something else to the table, right? Like you make stew, for example. Everything you throw in there might be different, but it has a different taste, right? Hopefully it's a good taste. You know? And we're different. How about in a marriage? The husband's different than the wife. But if it's done with love and the whole thing according to the word and the mystery and all that, it brings everybody together. So, the point, and I know it's a very simple point, the point is, look, we're to build our lives on Christ. But if we build our lives on Christ, it's easy then to have our marriages then have Christ involved with this whole thing. And looking at Ephesians, look at how that comparison goes all the way through. If we're to let the word of Christ dwell in us richly, then it comes out all over. And it's very simple. It's just the word of God. That's all it is. It's the word of God. So, we're not to build things the wrong way. We're to build things the right way according to the word or according to Christ. So, man builds things not according to God's provision or God's code. God built Christianity on Christ. We're to build our lives on Christ. As God's word dwells in us richly, our marriages are a microcosm of the great mystery based on the work of Christ. Look at Ephesians chapter 5 and in verse 1. Ephesians 5 and in verse 1. Ephesians 5, verse 1, it says, "Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in what?
Love.
As Christ also loved us, and hath given us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor." God has given us a code whereby we can build something really tremendous. Build our life, build a marriage on something that's absolute 100% truth. In the manifestations today, God said twice about how that he was true. We can build our life on God's word. And you know, there's no guarantees in marriages, but you know, you base your life on the word and we have something super sweet. So let's build our lives and marriages on Christ. Father, thank you for this word. Thanks for how simple it is and how you take care of us. Thank you for these things and for a great night for all of us. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. Okay? Thank you.
Thank you, Steve. Good. Any questions anybody has about that? Anything on that you'd like to ask? Anything? Questions are a sign of intelligence. You have any questions on that? I have a question about the bridge. What's the point?
The point was the horizontal, the relationship is solid because both of those pillars are solid in the rock. Like in a marriage, the marriage is great because the husband and wife both are deep into God's word.
And the word represents the pillars?
Yeah, well, the people are faithful in the word. And then that helps the relationship.
Oh, okay. Verticals and horizontal. I got it. All right. I wanted to understand that myself, so I asked. Anybody else have any questions? These sure are neat to hear, you know, hear God's word taught by different people from different angles and stuff like that, but still being the word. You know, Steve emphasized the men being the head, but you know, there's a lot of other stuff in there, how men are to love their wives as Christ has loved the church. And that's, you know, I don't know. He gave his life for the church. So us men who, you know, you might have a problem with your wife here and there, remember that, how Christ loved the church. And that's what can make a man be a good head of the household, is by having a tremendous respect and love for his beautiful wife that God has blessed him with. And a wife will be more apt to listen to you if you love her. She'll be less apt to listen to you if you criticize her and condemn her and complain about her and stuff like that. You know, be thankful. You just be thankful. And everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. And certainly that applies in our marriage, and it applies with our families and everything else, you know. We live in a world that's run by the adversary, so he tries to, you know, hurt us and harm us and get us negative or get us angry or get us doubtful and all that stuff. But the greater reality is God's word always. And the quicker, just like Steve said while he was sharing, to get to the word, both of you get to the word, the better. I know the thing that I enjoyed about my marriage with Joyce was the word more than anything. And the thing I enjoy with my marriage to Diane is the word, and that she holds more than anything at all, not even anything close. That's what builds people the right way, is God's word and walking together on it, being like-minded together on it, and standing together on it. The world, too oftentimes, believers are influenced mightily by the world. You can tell by what you read, what you think about, what you view, and what you accept in your heart. And that'll dip you off just a little. And that's all it takes, is a little dip. Stay true to the Word of God, first, foremost, and always. And it was just the greatest. Well, thank you, Steve.